You're watching Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. Thanks for joining us this evening. Of course, we're trying to see some sectors that could push the needle in terms of the reopening of the economy, not just in Malaysia, but of course in the region as well. Joining us is a longtime friend, I suppose, of ours, of the show. And of course, you know, this is an idea that we want to do this more in terms of trying to reconnect with some of the old friends that we have right now. On the line, joining us all the way from Austria is Hans-Peter Ressel, the CEO of Momentum Commerce. How are you, Hans?
Hey, Ibrahim. I'm good. Thanks. It's quite early here, but I made it. I made it.
You made it. Excellent. And of course, Hans joins us from Austria. So yes, if you guys don't know who Hans is, he was the previous CEO of a big commerce business here in this country. And of course, right now he's running Momentum Commerce. Maybe Hans, you can walk through with us what Momentum Commerce is all about. What do you guys intend to achieve and how does this bring value to the market right now?
Yeah, thanks, Ibrahim. So Momentum Commerce is a brand enabler, a service provider, a service and solution provider that helps brands and SMEs run and scale and expand their e-commerce business across Southeast Asia, across all the e-commerce channels that are available. We have the, you know, Lazada, Shopee, and Zalora's. We have the brand.coms. We have now new channels like TikTok. And here we help them across the value chain, logistics, customer service, marketing, IT, design, live streaming, etc. We help them scale up the e-commerce channels, run the e-commerce channels, and work hand in hand with them to also help them expand into other markets across ASEAN. We've been doing this for 3.5 years, and we are really benefiting from our experience at Lazada in the past. So we have a lot of ex-Lazada, a lot of ex-Shopee people with us that have a lot of experience in the e-commerce platform domain.
Okay, we can't escape the fact that you were the ex-CEO of Lazada, and of course, being there, the intense environment there. I mean, I was, you know, up close and personal in terms of how things are being run there. It's pretty intense, yeah. In terms of how you guys trying to spend your OPEX, trying to get more voice in terms of advertising. I don't know how the things are run there right now, but do you feel that what you had there or the lessons that you had there is now, you know, put into place into how you run Momentum Commerce for the past 3.5 years?
So I think obviously you learn along the way. Not everything that we did at Lazada in the past was great. Yeah. And a lot of things were great. Yeah. And so I think obviously when you move on into in your entrepreneurial journey, you try to maintain the things that were great and you try to do the things better that you thought with more experience I would have done better in the past. And I think that's what we're trying to do at Momentum Commerce. I think we have almost like a second chance to do it again. A lot of ex-Lazada people, a lot of ex-Shopee people that come over because they see that what we're doing gives them the same good things, the excitement, being part of a fast-growing industry, constant innovation that is being adopted early here, still, again, being pioneers in certain areas of the e-commerce value chain, and yet having that positive, the values, having kind of a strong bond, almost like a family environment. We have a lot of people that bring their brothers and sisters or cousins to the company. That's usually a good sign to say, hey, this is a place where you can build your career. This is a place where you can learn something, and this is a place where you grow. So that gives us the sense that we're doing something right. And getting all these references within family, within friends circles to join us usually is a good sign that people really enjoy it and want other people in their close circles to be part of as well.
All right, that's also very important. Talent improvement has always been criticized in terms of digital companies. They don't normally grow talent. This is a general, of course, perception in terms of what the market sees. Yeah, if you don't really grow the talent per se in terms of building a career, in terms of building skill sets, everything is too fast, everything is on the go, and everything is rather ad hoc. It's like a whitewater rafting for your career, if you will. Do you feel that this whole idea of, you know, working in a digital company like yourself, like Momentum Commerce or like Lazada, that perception has to change in terms of how one would build a career specifically in this line?
So I think it's always hard to look at it from the outside. I've been out of Lazada for almost 4 years now. but you still hear things. You still have friends in the big e-commerce companies. And I think you have to separate between those big e-commerce companies and a young company or a startup like ourselves. Today, we are like 70, 75 people. You cannot compare this to the probably 2,000 people at Lazada Malaysia today and 10,000 across the region. So these are two different beasts that are hard to compare. However, I really think that from 10 years ago, when we started to, you know, enter the market here in e-commerce, the traditional route of going to an insurance, going to a bank, going to a big telco or oil and gas company was something that was encouraged by parents, was encouraged by family, and was like a typical path. You do this for 10 years and then you wait your turn. I think that the shift to digital companies, startup, internet, e-commerce, digital, that has happened. I think it's very attractive now for, you know, young professionals to join that industry first. It's wild water rafting, but that's how you learn to do rafting, right? So I think that's how you learn it. It's almost like diving. If you go to a small pond and lake and you learn diving there, yeah, great. But then once you go to Kota Kinabalu and there maybe has some currents, then maybe you're struggling. And so that's something that people understand, that today in the digital economy, they get a lot of exposure, a lot of responsibilities early on. And then it's like jumping into the cold water. You adjust, and then you just learn to swim faster than others. And I think for some people, that's the right path. And some people enjoy that journey. And maybe some people that don't have to wait 10 or 15 years before they get a big role, but just 2 or 3 or 5. And so that's a very attractive route for a lot of people. And I think, it's still out there.
Okay, let's talk about Momentum Commerce per se. You guys just became an official TikTok Shop partner. What does this mean, and how does this bring about the advantages for some of the brands under your roster? And how would they treat Momentum Commerce as an agency?
So I think it really allows us to be considered a close partner for helping brands understand that is a new channel they need to embark on, and what are the value adds for this. And I think given that we have A, very strong brand relationships, B, e-commerce platform domain expertise, and C, we constantly are on the lookout of how to adopt, how to be early adopters of innovation for our brand partners. How are we different maybe to other service providers? That's one of the areas that we can really bring to the table. TikTok saw that. TikTok saw that we understood what's going on, that we understood what's our place, what's TikTok place, what's Lazada Shopping, what's the brand's place. And basically we work together to educate brands to migrate or open those channels on TikTok as well. And it's something that brands very often are not structured in that way that they can adopt innovation very early. You know, they have their processes, they have their teams, they have their divisions. And so sometimes we as a service provider can come in and act very fast and educate them and help them scale and kind of be the team of them for these new initiatives and activities before they see, do you want to in-house this? Do we need a team for this? How do we do this? We are the ones that can really help them adopt those things early. And so that is a very close collaboration where we really get introduced to new models of TikTok that are being launched soon so that we can prepare for this. And the moment those modules go live, we are already live with our brands and use them. I think we have a little bit of insight into how TikTok is working in China. So we kind of get a glimpse into the future. And so we're always on the lookout of what's next or what's coming next to Malaysia, to Singapore, etc. And so that's kind of our role here.
You know, TikTok as a platform is very interesting. We're looking at average viewership of about 30 to 60 minutes per individual within a certain age group, maybe 15 to 30. The data is actually quite compelling. And of course, people watch this in a lateral position, relaxed at home, and they can't get their eyes off it. One thing that I find interesting is that the algorithm runs, 15 to 30 second videos. If you're watching your TikTok video for 30 minutes, that's like a cycle of just multiply, right? 30 seconds, 1 minute, two. Yeah, you're looking at 60 to 120 videos. It's unbelievable in terms of the consumption of the media on TikTok. But I want to ask you in terms of how you compare and contrast this with, say, the traditional meta properties like IG or Facebook that is rather entrenched when it comes to commerce, at least in Malaysia and this part of the world. How does TikTok, or what makes TikTok a little bit different from apps like IG and Facebook?
So I think the interesting thing is in general, it's a social network first, right? And I think this whole TikTok Shop and the commerce vertical has just been launched in some countries. I think when you look at the Lazada, Shopee, and the big platforms, usually there's a certain demand to buy something. It might be a certain category, it might be a certain product, or in general, you keep browsing with the intention to buy something. You might even use keyword search in Google and Lazada, Shopee to search for a specific brand, right? And that's something that is a bit different on TikTok. I think it's way, can be way more organic. It's much more skewed towards impulse marketing, impulse-driven buying, demand generation on the spot. And that's something when you now look into this live stream and then the short videos, and if you're able to create the right mix, the right frequency, that's something that can be very engaging. It can be very kind of top of funnel branding awareness activities that really start to build a brand. And then later on, in the same platform, you can really manage the entire customer conversion funnel, from branding and awareness all down to the checkout, and then to the loyalty with the followers that you can re-engage with, etc. So a lot of tools that really can capture any customer throughout the entire journey. And the Lazada shop is usually you go with intent to buy. And you have less impulse buying. They try to do it with the flash sales and the pop-ups, etc. But like on TikTok, it's much more organic because you spend time there already. And as you said, you spend much more time on TikTok than you would on Lazada shopping.
We want to understand a bit better in terms of how brands can actually take advantage of utilizing TikTok shop, yeah, versus some live streaming options or live streaming selling and other forms of social commerce options on the app.
So basically, also on TikTok, you have kind of an e-commerce value chain, right? And usually you have all the fulfillment and the tech and then the front end, the banners, the designs. And I think, so that's something that we help brands with. We really have a 360-degree solution here where it starts with creating short videos. It continues with sourcing of KOLs and the talent management around it. We create the content and have our in-house production studio provide all the live streaming services, content marketing, store management, and also the logistics. We have our own in-house tech and the data analytics. So that's something when you embark on that journey, it has the same e-commerce value chain components added up with all the content creation, live streams, and short videos. And that can be very intensive operations on a day-to-day basis. You have to kind of be very creative and at the same time find the right way to engage with the audience. That could be in a humorous way, in a funny way, that could be in an educational way. And so there are various things that you can try out. And the TikTok algorithm, kind of, if you analyze the data properly, shows you very quickly what's the right approach, what's the audience, and how to engage with it. And so that's something that we help our brands with, because it is very operational and it's very analytical. And so these are two things on a new channel, which usually a lot of brands have problems embarking on the journey. And that's something we're very happy that we can help them today with our services.
And of course, the biggest success story on TikTok, or some of the more important stories or case studies that you can share with us, perhaps we can also look at some of the sales conversion figures of these kind of good brands that are doing well there on TikTok right now. Maybe you can share with us.
Yeah, so we work with a lot of brands. I think by now it's already more than 30 brands that we work on TikTok together. There are some local brands like Alexan, the biggest sports retailer in Malaysia. We work with L'Oreal, and I think here almost all brands of them we work together here. And one of the big success stories is the Indonesian beauty and skincare group Wardah, who just entered the Malaysian market, I think two years ago. We have been working with them ever since. And they started, I think, with 300 followers when we took over the account, and I think by now it's around 50,000, and that's like maybe 45 days, 60 days since we started. So the follower base, the engagement really, really exploded just by having the right mix of video content, the right frequency of video content, combining this with live streams and then upselling, you know, special deals during those live streams. And we see conversion rates here north of 5% on a business as usual basis. And that's quite high compared to some of the comparable conversion rates at the, you know, traditional platforms, Lazada, Shopee. And so that's very promising and very exciting, where we see the potential of TikTok is just in the beginning, but we already see quite some results.
I also want to ask you a little bit more about social commerce, because there's a bunch of questions I want to ask you on this. Maybe you can share with us, what is social commerce? How is it different from e-commerce, the term that we are all familiar with?
I mean, social commerce is one part of e-commerce, right? Where you have elements of commerce and we have elements of social media, right? So TikTok, where you start engaging with your friends, where you start engaging with the follower base, where you start building kind of exposure and connect through content creation and content sharing, is a good example here. I think that sub vertical of e-commerce is growing quite fast. I think by today, when you can believe the numbers that are out there, I think the daily and monthly active users of TikTok already in Malaysia already exceed what Lazada and Shopee have combined. And that's just an example of, or that just shows the opportunity, because once you start having people socializing with each other, connecting with each other, then conducting commerce on that platform becomes quite easy. Right. And so I think here the opportunity really is that you can own that relationship with your follower base, with your content creators and with your affiliates much more. And it's a very unique blend of kind of shopping and entertainment, right? Like what Lazada and Shopee really claim to have already built through their own in-house live stream, etc. It's still a shopping platform. Whereas on TikTok, it's different. As you said, you scroll and you can't just stop, right? And then out of your 100 videos that you see, maybe 10 are shopping related, are e-commerce related, but all the others are your friends, are the people you follow, are the celebrities. So it all becomes a nice mix and blend of content that you consume, out of which just some part of it is commerce related. And everything is so a bit more genuine, a bit more organic, and hence very relevant for brands these days.
Do you feel that social commerce is going to outpace other marketplaces that are currently being used right now? Say, for instance, other parts of e-commerce channel in Malaysia, for instance, or other parts of the region?
Very likely. I also think that the traditional e-commerce channels will have to reinvent themselves. I think, you have to always be part of the change in the market. And you have to disrupt yourself in order to stay relevant. And I think all e-commerce platforms that started with like a web.com and then went into an app, and now the app provides way more services than just pure commerce related services. And then going forward, I think even those apps have to reinvent and disrupt themselves to stay relevant in a market where like new apps, new social media platforms, new channels can pop up that easily.
Okay, and of course, I want to ask you specifically about the role of social commerce in comparison to other online sales channels like Lazada and Shopee, brands that we are rather familiar with in this part of the world.
The relevance is quite high. I think when we start talking to brands, everyone is shifting their focus right now to TikTok. It's quite amazing. I think you can compare this maybe with the digital marketing scene a couple of years ago, where like everyone was spending offline marketing dollars, and then everyone was moving that marketing dollars towards online. And then once online kicked in, everyone moved their marketing dollars towards the Lazada marketing solutions. And what we see now is everyone is focusing their attention towards TikTok. Just speaking about numbers, I think after being 3 months into the whole TikTok world with our brand partners, since we are a TikTok service provider and launched the first stores, our revenue contribution on the TikTok channel already exceeds 10%. I would not be surprised if that is more than 50% in the full year of 2023. So I would not be surprised if the whole attention from all the brands until the end of the year and then early next year shifts toward the channel and will then exceed 20, 30, 40% for most of the brands easily.
What would be some of the drivers pushing this number? You're rather confident of this.
I think it's just also, there's a lot of experience of the TikTok team, how it worked in China and the aggressiveness they went in. It's like almost sitting at the sidelines and watching what is the model by country that works, right? But if you, for example, would have...
Hans, but China is not the same as our market is not the same as China. I mean, there could be some variations into how things are being done there versus here, right?
That's for sure. But I still think, for example, if you follow the market in Southeast Asia, most Southeast Asian markets, and you follow kind of the journey of how C2C used products developed into a B2C world, developed into a flagship store environment that is structured by big brands, you see how kind of the industry matures. And you see also how the the economy is despite COVID, kind of growing up and more used to buying branded products. And when you see these trends, when people start buying branded products, then they want to have a certain experience. And so that is something that happened in China 5-6 years ago as well. And now you see a trend, for example, into less dependency on the big platforms, more dependency on in-house brand.coms. People want to own the platform, they want to have brands, they want to own the data, they want to own the customer relationship and not depend on platforms too much. And so TikTok is kind of a hybrid that allows you to own that because it's a social media network, right? And so when you look into the back end of TikTok and the amount of analytics you can do now yourself, that's something that will spill over. And I'm quite confident that this is something, it's just a better platform as well when it comes to how to manage what insights they give to you compared to some of the Lazada Shopee insights that you have. So you just have a better understanding of how to engage, how to target, retarget, and re-engage with your consumer base.
One item that we need to look at is the announcement that Momentum Commerce has made very recently on the launch of the TikTok Shop solution here in Malaysia. In that announcement, it has been said that the company, or your company, Hans, offers proprietary smart AI technology solution for your clients via your technology arm called SellerCraft. Maybe you can talk to us a little bit more about this.
Yes, SellerCraft is our technology tool that we developed. And I think here it's really about helping SMEs and brands manage their e-commerce activities across multiple channels in a more productive way. Yeah, and I think here it sounds simple, but there are some very basic things that really eat up a lot of time when you manage multiple channels, multiple stores, etc., across multiple countries. So having like a unified order management where all the orders from the various channels go into an OMS, and then basically you don't have to manipulate data yourself, re-upload prices and stock into multiple channels, but have a tool that allocates stock according to demand, and then where you can centralize all the activities of price uploads, SKU uploads, delistings, etc. on a daily basis. That's very helpful. And the same applies for inventory management. People want great customer experience. Overselling your flash sales is something that really kills customer experience. Or underselling because you don't want to upload all the stock, you're afraid of overselling, is a loss of revenue opportunities. So our inventory management then really makes sure that the stock allocation, the stock balancing across channels is very seamless. And then the analytics portion, once you have all that data combined in one tool, you can really analyze what channel works well for you, what should you focus on. It combines commercial operations and marketing data and really helps you navigate the plane like in a cockpit for the pilot.
I want to talk a little bit more about how Momentum Commerce is running its business, particularly in terms of funding. Are you guys planning to raise funds? What's the story there?
So I think we have started with the support of some local investors, but we're running the business quite lean. And I think one of the learnings of Lazada is that, you know, high risk operations, when you drive too fast and you bank too much on inorganic growth, you might hit the wall. So we wanted to grow organically, and I think we got some support, but we're not really looking out for funds right now. We're trying to, you know, run the business as sustainable as possible. And I think right now, maybe for next year, to accelerate our growth further, we are currently expanding into Singapore, Indonesia, the Middle East, Philippines, and Vietnam, and maybe Thailand as well. So for our growth and expansion plans, to accelerate those, maybe next year we're looking into bringing external investors on board.
Okay, so funding isn't the primary focus, growing your business is. Let's talk a little bit more about the kind of businesses that you're targeting. You were mentioning just now Eucerin, Nivea, Alexand Sports, Wardah, and you know, there's a bunch of other brands that are quite famous actually for consumers. Pretty sure this is not enough for you. So what would be some of the areas that you're targeting next? What would be some of the segments, so to speak, inside the consumer space?
So we are very strong in the beauty, skincare, cosmetics world. I think here we work really with a lot of local champions, global leaders. And I think we have really, really mastered that area. I think the next area that I want to focus on is the fashion world. Yeah, so everything around fashion is very interesting for us. Why? Because I think you have the whole Malaysia as a hub for, you know, Muslim wear. You have a lot of designers here. Us going into Indonesia and the Middle East really allows us to really work on that demographic, on the Muslim population much more. So everything on the Muslim aware fashion for these regions, as well as, you know, halal beauty, halal FMCG, are things where we think with our headquarter, our experience and our base in Malaysia, we can really tap into those markets faster than maybe into others.
Okay, of course, I am weaning myself off of opium, sorry, TikTok, and I'm trying to see if I can work my way out of this whole, you know, addiction. But one thing remains, this is highly an addictive social media tool, not just for me, but for the millions out there. Where do you see TikTok heading in the near term? And do you feel that this trajectory is going to be, I guess, gaining momentum moving forward? Pardon the pun.
100%. Yeah, I think we see the rollout of TikTok Shop across Southeast Asia is just beginning right now. We're still early. It's the first hour of the day. But the early traction that you see in those countries where it was launched already, it must be quite promising for, you know, TikTok itself. And I think this is something we believe in our industry. Not many people have focused too much on it and looked at it really as a sales channel. It is used more for marketing purposes and for branding. But I think once all the brands understand it's not just the branding and awareness channel, but we can really engage with our customers across the entire funnel, that becomes very attractive. And there will be a lot of, it will be very crowded, it will be very noisy, and there will be a lot of, you know, investments done on that platform. So I think it's just the first hour of the day, and it's going to be a very exciting next, you know, one and a half years to kind of gain momentum on that platform and be the lead, be considered the leader with that audience, which is a different audience and maybe a younger audience that you need to engage in a different way. So people will try to learn how to do it, and it will be a big focus for all the brands for sure.
Okay, Hans, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. And whenever you're in town, please do come over to Bukit Jalil. It's always fun to have folks like you on the show talking about the, not just the businesses that you guys are doing and the industry that you guys are in, but of course the trajectory of tech. I think it's very, very important for us to continue talking about not just TikTok, but social commerce and e-commerce as well. That was Hans-Peter Russell, the CEO of Momentum Commerce. If you've missed out any part of this interview, just head on to astramoney.com. Look for the content there. You can also look for all our content on all our social sites. But until then, thanks very much for watching and catch you in the next one.